So, in this slide, we will look at addressing the fear behind certain questions. Okay, so whenever there are certain questions asked, there is a certain underlying fear, and we need to identify and address those. Now, basically, what is fear? Fear is nothing but false evidence appearing real. So, it is nothing but a perception of your mind which is false in nature, which leads you to believe that something untoward is going to happen. So in this context, what you need to do is understand what is really being asked. So take a few moments whenever a question is asked. Don't get nervous. Don't jump the gun by quickly trying to answer in order to impress the interviewer. Take some time, focus on what is being said, articulate or formulate your thoughts accordingly, and then provide an answer. Again, as we know, the interview is a process which is a two-way communication. So, answer the questions in a very brief manner. Address the hidden concern by presenting your skills. Focus on your key skills and give examples. So, it's extremely important that you speak in terms of benefits. It's extremely important that you quote real life examples of what you have done. For example, if there is a person who is being hired as a production manager in a pharmaceutical company, so in this context, he or she needs to elaborately explain what they have done in the previous role, how they have brought change, both in terms of numbers as well as certain qualitative change, like developing the people, developing themselves. So this is very important, and you need to provide certain timelines, certain names of people, certain names of processes where these examples have been implemented. A fact to understand about the interviewers, interview is that employers or the interviewers don't like interviews any more than you do. So many a times it's an unpleasant experience. Many a times the interview might lead to an elimination. Many a time, the interviewers themselves are also stressed. They have to probe a lot, which is a mental process. In a small amount of time, they are expected to make an accurate determination of a candidate's ability to work well within a certain framework. So they are, they have a burden of actually selecting a person. They don't know the real outcome, whether the person would go on to be successful or would be prone to attrition, thereby actually tarnishing the name and reputation of the interviewer. So it's not a pleasant experience for the interviewers as well. Do you lack the skills to do the job? Okay, is one of the elements that they need to see. Will you only stay with the company for a short time is what they have to analyze. Will you get along with your co-workers and boss? Do you have a work disrupting character flow? So these are the important things that they need to determine in a very short span of time. These are difficult to ascertain in a day, let alone in an hour or so. So certain characteristics of ours lie deeply hidden in our personalities, which of course people mask or they conceal. So it's rather difficult for interviewers to judge these inherent characteristic qualities. Now let's take a look at certain techniques for excelling in behavioral interviews. The first amongst these is a determination of the past performance and indication of this as a future predictor. To find the answers to these questions, employers are trying a new tactic to learn about potential employees. The behavioral interview is designed to provide the employer with another glimpse of your ability. The thought process behind these questions is that the past performance is a good predictor of future actions. For example, if a candidate is good at leadership and the resume says that in the past four organizations, he has been holding prominent leadership positions, and he is seen, in every position there has been an improvement or a promotion. So initially he started out as a senior associate, Then in the next job position or in the same company, he got promoted to a team leader. The next position was a group leader, then an associate manager. Eventually, he is a program manager currently and is aspiring to, you know, join the job as a senior program manager. In his particular resume, it's said that he has arranged for different training programs. He has arranged for on-job, visits to different other peer companies. He has arranged for people to be in mentorship programs. He has looked that his people receive certification. So these are the past performance details. And of course, you can see that many of these just say blatantly that they are a predictor of good future actions. The next important technique that there exists is the STAR method. STAR is basically an acronym for, or a short form for, situation, task, action, and result. So whenever you're explaining about your benefits or the way you have handled certain situations, you can use this particular method. For example, if you have trained 25 employees in a previous organization, if you're in charge of those. So I was in charge or a leader of 25 people in the organization. So this is the situation. The next portion is the task. So I had actively looked in the training requirements of these particular 25 individuals. This is the task. The action is I had developed innovative planners for the training. I had actually done a shortlisting of the best vendors for such a purpose. So that is action. And as a result of this, many of the people started excelling in leadership as well as behavioral skills, and this led to a few promotions as well. So this is how the STAR method can be used. Now we shall take a look at the behavioral interview questions. So behavioral interview question asks how you have handled things in real life. It requires you to answer from your own experiences with examples of what actually happened and what you did. Behavioral questions assess your experience, knowledge, and performance. So this is extremely important. These are three very important criterion on which the behavioral questions, are asked on. To do well in these interviews, you need to have thought carefully about yourself. So this is extremely important that you need to think carefully about yourself in the context of these particular interviews. The next type of question or technique is the interpersonal types of questions and techniques. We have all had to work with someone who is very difficult to get along with. What are some of the best ideas you have ever sold to a superior? What was your approach? Is a question from the context of interpersonal assessment. Can you think of a time when you have had to deal with the concerns of a particularly challenging customer? So here again, how well have you used an interpersonal skill or a set of interpersonal skills to deal with such challenging people or difficult people is what is being assessed. In what areas in your present job has good verbal communication been most important? So this is another important aspect which will be assessed. The next type of skills in question or aspect is the decision making. So have you ever recognized a problem before your boss or others in the organization? Explain is an essential question in this context. Describe any significant project ideas, etc., which you have initiated or thought of in the past year. What were the most difficult decisions you made in the last 6 months? And can you think of a particularly challenging decision you have had to make? So these are some of the questions from the context of decision making. They basically assess or test your decision making skills. How good are you at creating certain outcomes by taking the right decisions. Skills pertaining to knowledge or skills pertaining to the job are the next ones. So in this context, the questions can be, what are the steps you use in performing X job related task or assignment, etc.? What has been one of the most challenging situations which required your analysis? So it makes you think in a deeper manner, analyze the question and then answer accordingly. Have you ever been in a situation where there has been a recurring problem at work? Tell me about it. What did you do in this situation? So this is another particular question. The next is the type of personal or motivational. In this context, the first question says, give me an example of when you have worked the hardest and felt the greatest sense of achievement. The next being, tell me about some projects you generated on your own. What prompted you to begin them? Under what conditions do you work the best? What do you do to manage stress? And what were your objectives for last year? Were they achieved? How? So here we understand whether there is an internal drive for the employee, and does the employee bring in this personal or internal drive to the workplace? So many of these questions are in fact focused around this particular aspect of motivation that the person possesses, and does he or she get inspired or motivated by people or situations to work towards the best outcome at their workplace. The next is about the career ambition. How long would you plan to stay away, stay with this company? Why should we hire you? Where would you like to be in 5 years, the next 10 years? What are your long range goals? Who is the greatest influence in your self-development? What do you know about our organization, including its history? What do you know about our products and services? So this has all got to do about the personal ambition, the person's ambition in their career, in the professional ways, how they aspire to grow about in the career. The next is about management skills. So questions here are you able to schedule your timeline? How far ahead can you schedule? Can you walk me through last week and tell me how you planned the week's activities and how the schedule worked out? How would you schedule your time and set priorities? How do you manage the performance of those that report to you? Can you tell me about a situation in which you attempted to raise an individual or a group's level of performance? So these are some very important skills when it comes to people who are being recruited as managers. Here, it's important to understand their mindset, the basis of, you know, taking them in, that is the past performance and the kind of experience that they have in dealing with managerial aspects and issues. The next are a series of behavioral questions. The first goes as, tell me about a situation where you had to work with a difficult coworker. Did you ever take charge of a project from the start to finish? In this context, what happened? How do you feel, how do you deal with pressure? Give me an example. What is the accomplishment of which you are most proud? Tell me about a time when you are highly motivated. So these are some behavioral questions. Now let's look at certain situational questions. You are faced with a question where you have been approached by a supervisor and asked to assist her with special project that is due the next morning. You also have a major client's project due the next morning, and this project can't be delayed. You don't have enough time to complete both projects. What would you do? So this is a kind of a series of questions which takes you into a particular situation and how would you go about handling this situation? Now let's take a look at the reasons for candidate rejections. There can be a wide array or wide range of reasons that interviewers reject candidates. For a candidate, it is really critical to understand the important ones. Below provided is an exhaustive list which can be used by the candidate. The first being poor personal appearance. Second being overbearing or over-aggressive, conceited superiority complex, also called as know-it-all. So this particular thing actually disturbs the interviewers. They get irritated by such an attitude and they don't want such people in the company. These people can be instrumental in spoiling the culture of the company. They can be people who get bored easily and can move out of the company. And of course, they are people who are so aggressive that they cannot, be a part of a team. Next is inability to express himself or herself clearly. Poor voice diction, grammar. Today, in the industry, communication has become extremely important in all fields. People are constantly interacting with consumers, whether they are business consumers, whether they are individual consumers or customers. So communication is extremely important. Lack of planning for career, no purpose and goals. So through the resume of the person, the interviewer can determine whether this is the case or not. Lack of interest and enthusiasm, passive and indifferent to situations. So again, these are factors which are limiters to a person's capability. And definitely organically growing organizations or organizations who've seen a very good growth will not afford or will not think of hiring such people. Hence, they become part of the reasons for candidate rejections. A few others being lack of confidence and poise, that's nervousness and ill at ease. So if you're not confident, then generally people will not hire you. Failure to participate in activities. For example, in a previous organization, while I was a part of the panel of interviewers, there was this particular group interview in which there were 15 people in a room which we had interviewed, and we had rejected 7 of them because they did not participate at all. So the purpose of the interview failed there and they got rejected. Poor scholastic records, that means nothing but poor academic percentages. Unwilling to start at the bottom, expects too much too soon. So if it's a base job and the person's qualifications match, still the person believes that it's not a job fit for him or her, then the candidate would be seen as a rejection. Lack of tact. So when you're asked certain questions which need a diplomatic answer, and if you are straightforward and blatant, then probably you will be ruled out. Similarly is the lack of maturity. So in situational questions and behavioral questions, when you're told to describe about yourself or certain situations, if you don't answer in a mature manner, in an experienced manner, it can lead to a rejection. Some other aspects include condemnation of past employers, bad mouthing of past employers, saying bad or unruly things. Lack of social graces. For example, we covered the luncheon interview in one of the previous chapters. So if the person is not following the right dining etiquette, does not speak correctly, does not converse well, so it can be a rejection. Marked dislike for schoolwork. So marked dislike for schoolwork is another thing. Lack of vitality. So if there is no energy, no vitality, then again it's a reason for a failure. Fails to maintain eye contact with the interviewer. Limp, fishy handshake. Indecision, sloppy application blank. So whatever application blank you're providing, that is sloppy. Merely shopping around. So has no real intention of bagging the job. It's just browsing around, gaining information but does not really intend to join and wants job only for a short time. So some people, they only think of their own aspirations, they are not thinking of the company. So with constant attrition, it costs the company a lot. So this can be another reason for a rejection. A few other reasons for candidate rejections are little sense of humor. Sense of humor is extremely important. So if you don't possess it, many people see it as a rejection. Lack of knowledge in the field of specialization. So if it's a specialized aspect, for example, you know, one of my colleagues from our earlier organization was a trainer who specialized in IT sector. Once he was he aspired to be a senior manager in manufacturing though. So he went to a manufacturing company, everything went well, but in one of the rounds it was discovered that he did not know some of the manufacturing practices. So it was a clear lack of knowledge in the field of specialization that led to the rejection. No interest in the organization or field. Cynical approach, so a sarcastic or a cynical approach to the job. Low standards, so if you don't aim for high standards, you're probably seen as a reject. A lazy attitude. Intolerant, having strong prejudices. Prejudices are biases. They can be towards a particular community, towards a sector of the industry, towards a technology, and so on. Narrow interests, so a person who does not, you know, in the interview it's proved that does not know more than just a few things. So these can be the reasons for a candidate being rejected. No interest in community activities is another one. Inability to take criticism. Lack of appreciation of the value of experience. Radical ideas, ideas which are too innovative or radical for the organization to digest. Late to interview without a good reason. Failure to express appreciation for the interviewer's time. Asks no questions about the job. So many interviewers today do not entertain candidates who don't have questions. The high pressure type, so becomes really anxious or hypertense. Indefinite response to questions, so some vague answers provided, rambling around, beating around the bush. Now let's look at the Pygmalion technique for effective preparation strategies. This technique includes the use of positive imaging and self-belief in order to succeed at the interview. The following are the salient points of this particular technique. Create an image in your mind of how things should be and start to believe in them. So it's very important that you visualize or create a positive image. This will actually help alleviate or remove a lot of the fears associated with interviews. Don't forget that images strongly believed in can eventually become self-fulfilling prophecies. So many people believe, including sports stars, celebrities, politicians, that you have to have a visualization of positive things and keep repeating those mental images in order to get them into reality. So it's very important that we use this technique. Many people known to me have used this technique in various fields of life, not just interviewing, and have found great success. So in this particular technique, it's essential to choose a supporter for yourself and ask him or her to back you in your efforts. This positive and encouraging person should be the last person you speak with the day before you go to the interview. So there is a positive influence in your life created by this person who constantly dispels or removes the fears that you have and keeps motivating, guiding and energizing you. The next technique is quite similar to the Pygmalion effect of the technique. It's the visualization technique. This technique includes the use of visualization in order to succeed at interviews. The salient features are quite similar as well. By mental visualization, you can experience the success of your interview. You need to visualize the entire interview as to what will happen, how will it go, right from entering the room to how you will converse with the interviewer, what should be your body language, what should be the way you answer questions and so on. So all these things need to be rehearsed in your mind and to be understood as to how you would react in specific situations. Go through the motions in your mind. So before going to an interview, visualize what actually would happen there. Visualize yourself as a confident and a self-assured candidate. So it's extremely important that these two techniques be used in a strategic and a tactful manner. Many people who've done so have really become successful in this particular art of interviewing. So in this particular manner, we have completed this chapter wherein we've seen the importance of strategizing as a part of effective interviewing. We've seen the importance of planning. We've also seen what would be the kind of questions that can be expected, and certain areas of how to provide solutions. Also, we've seen the dislikes of the interviewers, as well as key questions in certain fields and the FAQs or frequently asked questions. And finally, a couple of techniques which help us strategize in an effective manner, increase our motivation, inspiration, and positive attitude. Thank you.